Hey there, my name is Seth Juarez. I'm from Channel 9, and I could not wait to come to Building 88 to get my grubby hands on the Surface Book. I'm excited to learn about, is this thing really going to do what it's supposed to do? Because I'm a dev, I also edit video, and I love playing games. So let's hope that it works. All right, let's head inside and see what Milad has for us. Hey there, we are here inside of Milad's office in Building 88. Tell us what you do and who you are.
Sure. So my team is responsible for the commercialization of Surface. Mm-hmm. That means for me specifically, I focus on Surface Book. My team will be responsible for anything around how IT developers, IT professionals experience Surface Book, meaning how they deploy, manage, operate, secure those devices mm-hmm. in order to get them into the organization, as well as then how they use those devices in their organization for professional use, for IT pros, as well as for developers to build actual stuff.
It was a pretty big surprise when Panos came out and said, here's the Surface Book. Because obviously this thing is not made overnight.
No.
It's a pretty remarkable process, I'm guessing, from beginning to end, from idea to development. Anything you can tell us about that?
Essentially, the idea started a couple of years ago when Ralph went with an actual notebook to Panos and said he wanted to build a laptop which looks like a notebook. Mm-hmm. And back then, we were start prototyping around what it would take to build the ultimate laptop. Because we in Surface, we believe we don't want to build just another device. Mm-hmm. We want to build new categories of device which help people to have new experiences. And in order to do that, we decided to make it a detachable.
Yeah, and that was kind of cool when it just went pop, and everyone's
yes.
like, woo!
Nobody knows at the beginning when Panos started actually the presentation, and that's why we played the video again and said, take a closer look at the video, and you will notice something. And that's why we continued the video and showed the detached experience of Surface Book.
So that's pretty awesome. But again, I'm more of a technical mm-hmm. guy, and so I want to cut past the hype, and I'm interested in a couple of scenarios, mm-hmm. and maybe you can tell. I'm going to talk about the three scenarios, and then maybe you can tell me what's in the Surface Book to help.
Absolutely.
The first is a lot of our work is video editing. You're watching mm-hmm. a video. We have to edit it. The other one that's interesting and we like to do all the time is we like to play games. Gaming mm-hmm. is important. And then the third and probably the most dearest to me, because I am technical, is actually writing software. I was, no joke, earlier today working mm-hmm. on some code.
Okay.
Visual Studio was freezing. There was not enough memory. Things were not happy. And so I'd love to see sort of how the hardware would help in those scenarios. So can you discuss the hardware a little bit?
Absolutely. So in order to exceed those expectations you have on a device, we looked into exactly what are our developers, what are creatives really using in terms of applications. Mm-hmm. And then we start reaching out to those application providers, to those IHVs, and said, we want to build a device, and we want to really know, what does it take to run your program as smooth as possible? And one of the lessons we learned with Surface Pro 3 was, Surface Pro 3 was great overall, but the lag was around the RAM, and it was the lag around the storage. So with Surface Book, and actually Surface Pro 4, we decided to go now all the way up to 1 terabyte of storage, and all the way up to 16 gigabyte of RAM, which we believe is a sweet spot in order to succeed as a developer, or an IT professional, or really as a creative.
Sure.
And then the other piece is around the CPU. Typically, we really like to work together with Intel on the latest and greatest, and that's what we did also with Surface Book. So we worked together with Intel and introduced the Skylake CPU, the sixth generation of Intel, mm-hmm. into our devices. So you have now the capability of having a Surface Book running an i7 based on Skylake architecture with 1 terabyte of storage and 16 gigabyte of RAM. And then the last piece is we worked together with NVIDIA and created a custom discrete GPU, which we put also into the Surface Book in some of the SKUs available. And we believe that's really where many creatives and developers will go, because that really allows them to do video editing or to really process their applications.
Absolutely. All right. So let's start with developers. How mm-hmm. does that hardware help with developers? Did you test with developers? How do you know that this actually is going to work for developers?
So what we do is typically when we build our products is we use the previous generation of devices to build the next generation device. So as an example, when we worked on Surface Pro 3, our development team used Surface Pro 2 as for the dev scenarios. With Surface Book, something very interesting happened. So we start building this beautiful hardware with all this horsepower, and all of a sudden, we start seeing our developers moving during the product development lifecycle of Surface Book, already to the book, to the prototypes we had, in order to really make use of that performance when they start continually developing features on Surface Book. So I think that's a great hint on the horsepower and how it's related to developers. Having a development team of a product like the Surface Book moving already to book before it's released is a great honor, I think, for our product.
So let me see if I understand. While you were making Surface Book, some of the developers, and we'll talk a little bit about what the developers do, decided, I'm going to use a Surface Book while I make Surface Book.
That's correct.
That's amazing. So what do the developers work on? Are they huge projects? Mm-hmm. Or how do you know that? Because I could write a little C program really fast and it's not a big deal, right?
Yeah.
But what is it that they're actually doing?
So essentially, you need to think about our dev team in two categories. We have hardware engineering and we have software engineering. And in each group, we have very talented developers. And then for hardware, of course, we have mechanical engineers, electrical engineers, and so on. And based on which subsystem you're responsible for, like let's say UFI, audio, driver compatibility, etc., you have certain activities you want to do. As an example, we have an imaging dev team, which is responsible on how the image, the Windows 10 image, will operate on a device once we ship the device. So think about all those devices you see in our Microsoft stores and the experience you have, this great experience you have when you walk into the Microsoft store and you see a device. That's their responsibility to build that software experience.
I see. So it's not trivial software.
So we do have driver and firmware, of course, right, which we are writing in-house. Mm-hmm. In fact, from a firmware perspective, we decided with Surface Pro 4 and Surface Book to take the UFI team in-house. So we now have a very talented UFI team, which is responsible to build our own firmware in-house. If you're familiar with UFI, it's not the easiest thing to do.
No.
But we decided that's the right thing to do for us in order to enable us to be faster when it comes to prototyping. We are very, very focused on advanced prototyping. And that's basically what I always recommend. If you have the chance to come to Redmond, you can always reach out to your account team and they can arrange your tour to our secret lab in Building 87.
Nice.
There you see how our hardware guys do prototyping. We now have the same capability for our software engineering team as well.
That's pretty amazing. All right, so let's move on to creatives. Mm-hmm. Did your team use Surface Book to do creative stuff?
Yes, so we partnered up with many ISVs, just like Adobe, in order to understand really what does it take to run Adobe Photoshop? How mm-hmm. does it work with Premiere? And then we looked into some of the industry tools as well in order to make CAD drawings. And then we started working with actual creatives, right? We went to reach out to specific artists and said, here's a device, test it for us, tell us about the experience. In Surface, we believe it's all about the experience. Mm-hmm. It's not just about the device or the software, it's about the experience you achieve with the device. And that way we reached out to many creators and said, give us feedback. And when we then were at Adobe Max, the major conference for Adobe, that was exactly what we started seeing. We had so many creatives coming to us and really looked into the device itself, as well as a pen. As you might have seen, we have now introduced also the new Surface
sure.
Pen with 1024 pressure sensitivity. It's perfect for creatives, and that's the feedback we got. In fact, when we were at Adobe Max, we had multiple artists at our booth. They were just drawing around with the devices, which was a great experience for us.
Absolutely. All right. So then the last one, and we're gonna talk just fairly briefly because mm-hmm. we have one of the people on your team here. For gaming, is it really as good as like the videos we're showing?
It is, most certainly, and I know you guys are going to talk with Matt. He's our expert on that as well. It's the best device I ever saw for gaming as well.
Well, let's get Matt in here.
Sounds good.
All right, so we talked about gaming with Milad, but you are the expert. So your job is to play games?
My job is to do an awful lot of stuff, and games is a big part of it. I'm the gaming guy here at Surface. I test early, middle, late, even after we've shipped, make sure everything's... All the experiences are going to be good with every game that all of our customers want to play.
That's pretty amazing. So I talked about this earlier, and then I realized that it sounded like a really fun job.
it's really fun. I'm really passionate about the industry, and the community. It's work. It's a job, just like everybody else on the team.
So tell me, what are you looking for when you're testing a game on the Surface Book? What is it that you're thinking about, I need to know about this before, and pass it on?
So on the Surface Book, especially now that we've added a GPU into the system, we've worked with NVIDIA and gotten some really awesome custom hardware. We're really looking for performance.
Right.
You know, we really want to make sure that every game that our users are going to want to play, all the way up to the brand newest stuff, the newest releases, it's going to be able to be played on our system. So we're looking for the performance. We're looking for the stability. We're looking for the ability to kind of do whatever our users want. And really meet their expectations and exceed them.
So is there like a subset of games that you're like, I need to pick a game that takes a lot of horsepower to run, and you play that?
So, I mean, obviously there are an awful lot of games out there. We don't test every single one of them. We do go through and pick. We actually kind of run the gamut of them. Tell you the truth, we will look at things like Minecraft and Hearthstone to make sure that they're really solid, and then we'll test all the way up to, you know, the really big popular AAA games, Battlefield 4, Shadows of Mordor, Witcher 3. You know, we'll hit, you know, really every part of the every part of the industry.
So the question for me about the GPUs, because there's two of them. Is there one of them or two of them? One in the when you detach it, is there one in there and then one in the?
So there's an integrated GPU in the Skylake processor in the top.
Okay.
And then there's our custom NVIDIA card in the base. So, you know, the integrated card can do an awful lot. It's a really powerful kind of thing when you're on the go. So, you know, so that lower end of things like Hearthstone is great. You know, it's a super popular kind of touch card game. You can pop the top off, walk around with it. It's super light, very touch friendly, great experience. And then when you really want to, you know, kind of put the spurs to it and play the big boys, you attach back into the base. You get the full power of the NVIDIA card, and then you can kick up, you know, Battlefield and Star Wars, all the big stuff.
So, but in order to detach, because I'm a technical guy, and so are you. We're all technical people. It feels like you have to tell the OS, I am going to use a different GPU, or does it use both at the same time? What's going on?
So it uses what's called hybrid graphics architecture. That means that the operating system knows about both of those GPUs, and it knows that, you know, kind of the one is its default one, and then the NVIDIA one is its big powerhouse. So it has a list, actually, of programs that games are all on that say, okay, when I launch this program, I'm going to launch this on the NVIDIA card. I'm going to give it the real power. Mm-hmm. But, you know, your desktop, Explorer, basic everyday things don't run on that card. So when you're not running something that needs that power, the OS isn't actually using that. And so you can go ahead and detach and just pop right off. And then if you are using that, you go try to detach, and the operating system, the system will actually tell you, no, you're actually using that hardware right now. You got to save your game and close it, and then you can detach and go.
That's pretty remarkable. So how does it know when to use the more horsepower as opposed to not?
So like I said, this is actually something, the hybrid architecture or Optimus architecture is something that NVIDIA has been and Windows have been working on for quite a while. There's actually a whitelist. NVIDIA maintains and updates, works with all the partners, works with all the game studios, and maintains a whitelist of a big list of applications that is just by default, when you run anything on this list, it runs down on the NVIDIA card.
That's pretty clever, because as a programmer, you know when you're using the GPU.
Exactly.
It's pretty obvious that you're using
GPU. And the guys who make these games work very closely with NVIDIA already, and NVIDIA, you know, works really hard to maintain this list and keep it up to date. You can kind of get the horsepower when you need it for the programs that you need it.
And that's pretty impressive, because I thought, oh, there's a list. Now I have to tell it this runs on the system is already going to know because of the partnerships we have with NVIDIA.
And it's actually maintained as well. So that's updated very often by NVIDIA. Now you can edit it if you want. If you, for some reason, really want to run Microsoft Edge on the GPU, you certainly can.
Yeah.
And you'll get the power for it. But the list by default is it's built in and it's updated and maintained by NVIDIA.
So as a programmer, if you want to somehow say, because I write numerical stuff sometimes,
sure.
How do I tell it to use the NVIDIA GPU, because it has CUDA in it? It's what I
sure answer. Exactly. So it's really easy when you're on a hybrid architecture. Anything on your desktop, any kind of program that you want to run, if you just right click, one of the options in that menu is run on graphics processor. You get a big list of every GPU you have, so you can run it wherever you want. If you don't want to have to right-click run on processor every single time, you can go into that whitelist and add your program right to it. So that's it's all editable.
Well, awesome, man. Thanks for spending some time with us.
Of course, no problem.
All right, so let's see what this thing can do. All right, Matt, let's play a game.
All right.
What do you got here?
So this is Ori and the Blind Forest. This is actually a pretty recent Microsoft Studios release. It was released on Xbox and then brought over to PC right afterwards. This is a really, you know, it's kind of a 2D platformer, I'll say that, but it's got a lot of really beautiful, you know, art and kind of depth in its environment. And it's actually turns out, you know, because of a lot of these effects, you end up with a game that's, you know, to the system actually really kind of intensive. And you know, being able to run it nice and smoothly, you know, with these layers.
It feels so like flowy and stuff.
Oh yeah, so it feels great to run. You know, works great. You know, with your controller just plugged in, and you have kind of all these different
he's hiding in the bushes.
The different layers of the animation actually all moving and running. There's a lot of lighting effects. There's a lot of kind of particle effects and.
Wow.
Really, really kind of intensive stuff. So you end up with, you know, a game that is really kind of subtly difficult on the system and really beautiful at the same time.
What's it running at frames per second wise? Do you know?
Oh goodness. So it, you know, a game like this will certainly be shooting for, you know, probably, you know, between 40 and 60.
Which is high.
Oh yeah, yeah. You really, you know, you're really always shooting for 60. You know, as on games, mm-hmm. and you know, we one of the goals for the book with the hardware was really to make sure that we stay above that 30 FPS bar.
I mean, for those that are watching, I used to teach gaming how to write games. This thing is rendering the whole screen at faster than 30 frames a second.
Oh, yeah.
And you can feel, like, usually in some games, you kind of like, but it feels like it's just really fluid now.
It's nice and smooth and fluid. You know, you're not experiencing drops or hitches or anything. You know, it's just nice, smooth, consistent gameplay. You know, it really is. As you're moving between different environments and different lighting effects, uh-huh. different depths of field in the background. You get all of these effects, all of the art and all of the kind of,
and you can see the cool thing, sorry to interrupt you, but I'm just watching this. You can see sort of the light rays coming down. These are not trivial sort of animations.
Absolutely. And there's, you know, the designers and the art guys on this game particularly, did a lot of work in the background and to, you know, to really kind of, you know, make a solid ambience in this game and really kind of, you know, make it look like you're really there and you're really kind of in these environments. They're very immersive. And sometimes dangerous.
Yeah. So this version of the service book, what version is it?
So this is the Skylake i5.
Mm-hmm. So it's not even the top level one.
No, this is the i5, but with the NVIDIA card, with the NVIDIA GPU in the base.
Oh my goodness! I was thinking you were gonna max me out just to impress me, but they brought the i5.
No, people. The i5 is still a fantastic, fantastic system.
Okay.
You know, with the NVIDIA card in the base really, really opens up these experiences that we really haven't been able to before,
mm-hmm.
and really, really makes them, you know, really, really awesome for everybody that wants to game on this thing.
Awesome. Well, that's cool. Thanks for showing us a game, bud.
Of course, no problem.
All right, so again, I'm here with Milad, and we're talking about the creative stuff. We talked briefly about it, but I wanted to get more into what kind of software can you run that's creative that you already know because you've tested it.
Yes, so basically, we have the partnership with Adobe, right? Mm-hmm. So we know that all the Adobe suite will work great on it.
Mm-hmm.
And then we also use Pro E. Not just, like, it's not just we just say, okay, it will work with Pro E, but actually our industrial designers, our mechanical engineers, or our electrical engineers use Pro E for CAD drawings as well.
Awesome.
For the products.
So they were actually designing the product while they were in the product using a design tool that's pretty heavy.
That's exactly what they did.
That's awesome. All right, well, Caitlin, one of our editors, is here, and we're going to have her play with it and see how it goes.
That's the best thing you can do. I know what this baby can do, but I have no experience with Adobe Premiere, so let's bring her in.
All right, let's do this. Come on, Caitlin. How do you like the mouse?
It's smooth.
Is it?
Yeah. Feels like a Mac.
Man, I my name should be MacBook Pro because I'm also smooth.
Oh, God, you're you're killing it today. Come here.
There it is.
There it is. Look at
that. This is what editing is like. This is so exciting. Yeah. I mean, this is must-see
really
TV.
Neat. You do feel like that guy with his arms?
Yeah, yeah. Here we go.
Okay.
Oh. Hey yo!
Hey, it works. It works. Let me just put this right down there so we have it. Okay. And then we'll do the one that you originally wanted to do Monday.
What do you think? Is it pretty snappy so far?
It is pretty snappy so far. Okay. Let's see.
Like, it's the same shot of me twice. Different shirt.
Oh, is it the different? Is that a different shirt?
Yeah, it's a different color.
Oh, that's funny. I thought the lighting was just different. Okay, let's make a new sequence. Come on.
This? I need to move it over here, right?
Oh, amazing. Change. You just drug it with your finger.
Holy cow, did I just did it with my finger. Wait, can you move it with your finger? Oh my god.
Oh my gosh.
That's amazing.
That's really cool. And then can you switch all your
Oh my gosh, that's wonderful.
There we go.
Oh my gosh. Look, did you see? You can move it around with your finger. Like, look at this. You can be like, hey, I don't want this here. I'm just going to move it with my finger.
That's very cool.
That's way
cool.
That
is really cool. Do me.
Oh yeah.
That is beautiful. Look at that.
Let's see it. Let's see what it does to export. Oh, how did you do that?
You just double click it and it expands the.
With your finger.
That's amazing.
Let's try an export. Yeah, let's do a file export. Man.
That's great.
Oh, great freeze on me. It looks like I'm sleeping. Oh, there it is.
Oh, there it is.
Oh, scrubbing through is not bad.
Oh, it's not bad.
Hey, look at that.
Oh, that's great.
Let's try scrubbing through, because I tried scrubbing through on my Lenovo. It was... That's awesome.
And we're going off of the hard drive, too.
Yeah.
And
that's right.
It's still going.
That's awesome. Oh, my gosh. Let's do a fast scrub through with the mouse. Oh, jeez.
Like butter.
Oh, my gosh. All right, let's export. Export.
Okay. Let's.
Let's just export it. Not even cue it. We're gonna.
I want to see how the encoder works.
All right, let's see it.
I want to see how smooth it is. And then while we encode it, I'm gonna play a YouTube video.
It's the real test.
Yeah, it is the. Oh, there it is. Okay, let's see. Now this is a 16-minute video. Let's see how long that'll take. And it's going off of a hard drive too, so we'll put that into consideration as well.
That's not too bad.
It's not too bad, yeah. Preparing audio. That's amazing. It's a tiny little thing.
It's not even like getting hot.
No, it isn't. You can't hear it or anything.
Is this faster than the other machine? Oh, that's not bad.
That isn't bad. Look at that. Look at those numbers. It's not bad. Now it's humming a little bit.
Well, I mean, you would expect it to, right?
It would be weird if it didn't.
Yeah, you'd be like, what's going on in there? All right, let's watch YouTube.
Oh, yes, you're right. This is what I do when I'm at my desk while something's encoding and I'm waiting for it to encode. I watch YouTube videos.
Whoa, that was pretty snappy, snapper doodle.
That was really fast.
Let's look at a simple trick to install baseboard corners perfectly.
Let's do it.
See Jane drill. This is going to be so good.
It's going to be amazing. Look at that transition.
By the way, we're encoding a video right now, okay? And we're watching some YouTubes at the same time. That's amazing stuff.
And it's still going. That's terrific.
Did you just get chills?
I did.
Yeah, I know. All the long hairs on my back stood up just now.
I'm so glad we have it on camera.
Awesome. Well, what do you think?
I like it.
Are you convinced?
I'm a believer. I was skeptical going into this because I know it takes a lot of CPU to process HD video like this.
Well, because it's all offloaded onto the GPU, I think it's just a lot better. But this is about how fast it does it on our other workstations.
Yeah, and this thing's tiny.
All right. Well, I think we should just leave it at that. I'm convinced.
I like it.
All right. So what you just saw is Caitlin and I going through our regular workflow of editing videos and watching YouTube at the same time.
it's
a tough job.
It is. All right. It's rough.
All right. So I'm a programmer. I went to John's Online School of Computer Science, printed out my degree in 3 weeks.
Oh, nice. Me
too. Oh, yeah. That's
a pretty good. I did my doctorate.
Me too. I took an extra half hour to print it out. All right, so developer stuff. So first what we're going to do is we're going to run a Visual Studio, and let's see if it's oh, my goodness!
Yeah, there you go.
I think I just spiked the audio levels on my... hold on, I got to do that again. That felt like you have some kind of demon inside of your machine. So let's go to Visual Studio. All right, let's try running it again. Let's run two instances.
You can run as many instances as you want.
Oh my goodness, this is so fantastic.
And that's i5, by the way.
I know. Let's go to github.com and let's download some stuffs here. I'm going to go to the dev branch of my... This is a machine learning library I built, so I'm going to download the zip file.
Machine learning,
that's
you.
Right.
Nice.
I know. I went to online school. It was a good school.
Oh, you printed the diploma as well?
That's right.
Nice, yeah.
So I am going to go to properties, and I am going to unblock this, because you know what happens if you don't. And then right-click, and I'm going to extract all to the desktop. So let's go browse, and let's put it on the desktop here. So desktop, and then make a new folder. New folder. Well, boom.
You know it's a touch screen, right? You can also...
Oh, that's... I know. I always forget that stuff. So I'm going to go next. Oh, I think... There we go. So now it's going to unzip it.
Let's see how long it takes.
Not bad.
There you go. 25 seconds.
Five seconds.
You're about to start developing, man.
Wow, that's pretty good. Look at all this stuff. Hey. All right, so let's see. Let's open this up. Yes.
Now it's his third instance.
Yeah, now, well, I closed one of them. Oh. I was sneaky, but so now there's two. There we go. Uh-oh, looks like there's something wrong with my project. I broke the build.
Oh, you're not passing the grade.
I'm just a bad programmer. All right, so let me go back and let me download the stuff that I know works. So download zip file here. So far, I'm already impressed that it's really fast.
It is. It's Skylake, man. Skylake.
So let's go here and go to downloads here. That's where the downloads are. And we're going to extract the master branch, and we'll just put it, let's just put it in the den here. It's okay.
No, you're getting lazy.
Now it's faster. So let's open this up.
Is that now the third instance?
Oh, you know what?
You didn't unblock.
I didn't unblock. Yeah. I forgot. So let's go back. Man, I'm such a bad programmer. This is what happens when people watch over my shoulder when I program.
Yep.
I got to close everything. Hold on. So 1 second. Very good. Now I can say master branch, extract all.
Go on, you can do it. I believe in you.
Yeah, we
can. But again, you didn't unblock.
Jeez. Okay, so let's delete.
Don't be excited. Like I know it's a hot device.
I know.
Beautiful.
It is beautiful. It's like.
Right click, properties.
There we go. Unblock. Okay. There you go.
And I'll just... I might not be a developer, but I know that
part. Oh, jeez. All right, so let's go into the master, and let's open this up, and let's see. Make sure it loads here. There you go. So there's all the stuff. Let's make sure it builds here. So right-click, rebuild. Man, that's fast. Let's try it. Let's see if it'll run the tests. I think I have to, let's see. So I have to have this thing called the N unit, in order to run it, the test adapter. So download that. Booyah, install. Restart now, but restarting is not a problem because it's fast. Here we go. Give it a second. Boom. That's still fast, man. And let's see if I can run the tests here. So tests, run all tests. I think I need to go to here. Oh, there we go. It's running the tests. Mm-hmm. This isn't bad.
Let's see if your code actually works.
I know. Gosh, yeah, I know. So let's go to test and let's.
I mean, if it doesn't, we have lots of talented developers here.
That's
they
right.
can probably help you out.
So test explorer, there we go.
Uh-oh, fail test.
You know, but what's cool, oh, this the reason why this sometimes.
Yeah, what's the reason for that? Yeah.
It's stochastic algorithm. I need to. But this is pretty amazing how many it's already run.
Yeah.
Oh my good gravy. By the way, these are not, some of these are not like trivial tests.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's pretty amazing that it can do this really fast. And let's go into the editing experience here. So let me go into my learner while it's still running tests.
Look, coding stuff.
Oh man, this is great.
How do you like writing on the keyboard?
The keyboard is really nice. Yeah, because it usually, I like the Surface Pro a lot,
mm-hmm.
but my problem was like the keyboard that it just, I did not like it for some reason.
Mm-hmm.
But this feels really good. I like that the function key, and this is cool because I have a different laptop, and
mm-hmm.
the function key doesn't stay on. And so, for example, if I want to press F5.
Oh, you have to continue.
Yes.
Oh.
Yes. There's build errors, obviously, because I just broke it, right? But, I mean, it finished all of the tests.
So what does your application actually do?
This makes machine learning models. Mm-hmm. And so, for example, one of the things that I tested that, let me just show you that this is not a trivial thing. So let me find a numerical test. So let me find a test that works. So let's do a normal estimation. So let's
mm-hmm.
go to open test. So this is not doing trivial stuff, right? It's using the normal distribution to do testing, right? And it's running it a lot. You see that?
Yeah.
And so 355 milliseconds, even though it looks like a lot, it's actually doing a lot of stuff. So let me, I wonder if I can sort this by, let's see the one that takes the longest. 162, nah. This one's pretty good.
542, right?
Yeah, but that's still half a second to run this thing. It's not, just to give you a sense for when I'm doing this on my own laptop, this is taking minutes.
Oh, really?
Yeah, this is taking minutes. So let's see if I can find a really good test. So let's go to math.
So maybe that's the reason why our deaf guys moved over to Book immediately.
Maybe, yeah. So let's go to something, let's see if there's something fun that I can find. There was one, but I'm not finding it. All right, we're going to have to, let me find this here. Trying to find one that was just really good. Okay, so here's LU factorization, for example. 1 millisecond to do LU factorization. Granted, these are really small matrices, but... So just to give you a sense, the test that I'm running, they're not rinky dink. These are like numerical tests.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, I'm not using the GPU, but it's still really fast because I didn't tell it to, obviously. So let's see if we can get, here's one. So this is doing a, okay. So test case 100 can factorize, I wonder why Visual Studio doesn't let me run these tests like this. But this, for example, is factorizing a 100 by 100 matrix,
mm-hmm.
and it's getting it's doing a eigenvalue decomposition of it, and you can see right over here. Let's see if I can find it. You'll see the numbers. Wow, where's that test? Yeah, the Visual Studio doesn't see this. It's not your fault. Oh, here it is. It's right here. Here's this particular one
mm-hmm.
takes 1 second.
And again, it's doing a eigenvalue decomposition of a 100 by 100 matrix. So it's not like a crappy little thing. Well, I know there's probably tons of other things I could do, but just the fact this alone for me is pretty remarkable.
There you go.
Like that I could
I
can just go like this and then it opens is super remarkable to me.
Yep.
All right. So okay. So just to finish up, we talked about using the Surface Book to do creative stuff.
Yep.
We talked about Surface Book to do gaming, and we talked about Surface Book to do dev, and that's pretty much all I do. So
you have the perfect device for you?
I know. Now I need to find a way to buy one. You can't buy one right now.
Well, you can try in the Microsoft stores to get one.
All right. Well, thanks for spending some time with us, bud. It's been awesome learning about the Surface Book. Hopefully you've had fun. And again, thanks for watching. My name is Seth Juarez. This is Channel 9, and we'll see you next time. Take care.
Thanks, guys. Bye.